psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
And so I realized that he wanted counsel to teach me. He wanted counsel to help me overrun that fear that I had.
It's a sad commentary on today's families that there are so many children that are deprived of love.
And finally you said, listen to what? And I held the phone down and Lincoln was screaming and you said, I'm a grandpa.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Luann, I'm sure a lot of our listeners aren't just listening to the radio right now, secluded in a chair, doing nothing but hearing our amazing voices. If they're not driving, they're at their desk working, and they're thinking about when to pick the kids up and what to eat for dinner and a million other things. I know that's my lifestyle. I can't just do one thing at a time.
Well, I'll get to you in a minute, Ryan. I need to finish this text right here. But I mean, I know that as adults, we are trying to do 59 things at once. Mm-hmm. We're all guilty of that. But Dr. Dobson, we don't always stop and think about what this kind of busyness might do to our kids.
Yes, and that's the key thing. It's not what the effect of that pace of living has on us, although I think it takes a toll.
Yes.
It's what it does to the younger generation. Childhood today is so different now than it was when I was growing up, and probably even from where the two of you were when you were young. There are just so many new forms of technology, from iPhones to iPads to iPods and things I don't even know about, I can't even name. But all of that technology serves to crank up this generation to warp speed.
It's hard to keep up with, that's for sure.
And they love it. You know, I know that teens and young adults today love this nonstop technology. But as we're going to hear today, all that stimulation and activity can lead to some serious neurological and physiological problems.
That's right, Dad. You know, this topic is so relevant for parents of my generation. And I hope that someone listening right now who maybe isn't a parent, they're a grandparent or an aunt and uncle, I hope they'll call us for a CD of this show to pass along to someone they know who could use it and hear about this topic. It's very easy to do. Our phone number is 877-732-6825.
Well, Ryan, I do hope they will call, because this information is vitally important for the health of our children. I said that before, and I want to emphasize it. For this reason, I invited two authorities on this subject to address it with us, and they're very good friends of mine, Dr. Arch Hart and his daughter, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber. They've written a book called Is Your Teen Stressed or Depressed? A Practical and Inspirational Guide for Parents of Hurting Teenagers. These are two wonderful, godly doctors, and I've interviewed them a number of times on different subjects. And so it was a privilege to interview them, and now I want to bring that important conversation, which is recorded, to our new Family Talk listeners.
Well, as the mother of three teenagers right now, Doctor, I can't wait to hear it, so let's not waste a minute. We're going to pick it up as you introduce the guests.
Dr. Arch Hart is with us again today, and his daughter, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber. Dr. Hart is a senior professor of psychology and dean emeritus at Fuller Graduate School of Psychology, Fuller Theological Seminary. He is a licensed psychologist and is board certified in psychopharmacology. He has written over 25 books, three with Dr. Weber, and he and his wife Kathleen now speak around the world on the subject of marriage and stress management and emotions, divorce, and sexual behavior. Arch, you and Kathleen are wonderful friends to Shirley and me. Thanks so much for taking the time to fly here to Colorado Springs and
Jim,
be with us today.
It's entirely my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, you've been on the program so many times, I haven't taken the time to count them all, but it goes all the way back to the
early
80s.
way back.
When we were very, very young.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And I've appreciated so much the work that you've done and the books that you've written. You and Kathleen have three daughters, and two of them have been here in the studio with us. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sharon Hart Morris was here in 2003 to talk about building a safe haven in your marriage, and Dr. Catherine Hart Weber was on the broadcast in 2004, to discuss adult depression. Dr. Weber is an author, a teacher, a counselor. She earned her PhD in marriage and family therapy from Fuller Graduate School of Psychology and is a licensed marriage and family counselor based in Sierra Madre, California. And you have two daughters, don't you?
I have
two teen daughters.
Teenage daughters.
And that's very relevant to
very
what we're
going
to talk about today. Arch, before we started the program, we were just kind of chatting about the topic for today, and you underscored the importance of understanding depression and stress and anxiety in this culture. It has really become a serious problem, hasn't it?
Oh, Jim, it is a problem above every problem. I think that this issue of stress and how it is producing depression and anxiety and a host of other emotional disorders in children is the most important issue that we as parents or teachers, youth workers, are going to face for the next couple of decades, no doubt about it. The stress level is out of control.
Catherine, the most obvious question and probably the bottom line for our discussions is why? Why is the incidence of emotional distress and depression and anxiety continuing today? What's going on there among the young?
That is the biggest question, and for parents too, because it seems that our teenagers have it in some ways a lot easier. They have cell phones, they have iPods, they have more conveniences, and our culture seems to offer a less stressful lifestyle. Yeah. Something is going on, and it has to do with the busyness of our lifestyle, the increasing disconnectedness of our family structures, of our intimate social connections. It has to do with the less amount of time we spend in recovery, because life is stressful, and it always has been, but we don't build in our lifestyle the recovery for that stress. We put increasingly more pressure on our children to advance and to have more opportunities and to compete more to get into the better schools, and we have an overstimulated culture that we live in. We don't realize a lot of these extra things that we're adding that are conveniences overstimulate us to the point where our brains are functioning on a hyperzone, and we are functioning at a speed where we weren't really created for that.
The children now trying to do their homework are listening to an iPod in one ear. They have a cell phone earpiece in the other while they are instant imaging or blogging or sending messages over the internet and doing all of this at one time. Jim, this is overstimulation for the human brain. And that overstimulation is one of the major causes of the high level of stress hormones that we are seeing today.
And it is constant. It doesn't cool down. It's every day. It's 7 days a week.
And there isn't enough downtime. There's no margin built in. Yeah. Children, it's all been taken away.
And that is true of young people, but it's certainly true of adults too. That accounts for some stress in those that are a little older.
Yes, absolutely right.
You know, in my book, Bringing Up Boys, I talked about the processional caterpillar. Have you ever heard about that?
Yeah.
Processional caterpillars are genetically programmed to follow the caterpillar in front. Mm-hmm. And if you put them in a circle inside of, say, a flower pot, and then you put their favorite kinds of food in the middle of that flower pot, they will not deviate from this procession around the outside and will starve to death still chasing the caterpillar in front. That's there's a moral there for some of us, because we're all chasing the caterpillar in front of us. Catherine, what symptoms do you look for with a young person who is severely depressed?
And this is very important for parents, because a lot of times we think of adult symptoms. We think of, you're going to be sad and you're going to cry, and if you're stressed, you're going to look like an adult. But they tend to show their stress and their depression in behaviors. Their grades will start dropping. They'll lose interest in some of the sports or the activities that they used to have interest in. They will stop eating and not sleeping well. They'll maybe have stomach aches, throw up in the morning, and those types of things. We want to hang around with the same friends they used to, want to be spending more time alone, and maybe start smoking or experimenting with substances to deal with their pain. And they might land up in the principal's office quite often, be getting detentions and tardies, they're acting out. And boys will tend to be aggressive and act out in depression symptoms. Mm-hmm. And with girls, they might not be tearful and crying. They might just be irritable, like PMS-y all the time, if you want to use that term. They might be, they talk back and just shut down and not talk and express themselves. And so those kinds of things are symptoms possibly of stress and depression.
Now, Arch, what makes this difficult is that all of those things happen in normal development.
Yes.
They're just kids that are just being teenagers experience a lot of that. So how do parents distinguish?
Yes. Well, it's being taken a step further. For example, we're now seeing in children, and this is one area I am particularly interested in, something called non-sadness depression, where the classic symptoms of depression, and this is where parents need to be informed, because they are looking for the classic symptoms of depression. My child's sad or crying all the time. That's not what you're seeing. It's non-sadness depression. The dominant symptom is anhedonia. That's the loss of ability to experience pleasure. And I just got back from a trip to South Africa, Germany, and Switzerland, and I've checked it out in all those countries. They all report to me, as we're seeing in the States, that one of the dominant symptoms of childhood depression is the child says, I'm bored. I can't enjoy anything. I don't take pleasure in anything in my life. And that then will drive them to many of the other behaviors that are problematic. And with this absence of ability to extract from life the pleasure I used to get as a little kid, just throwing stones at a bottle on the wall. I couldn't imagine my grandchildren getting any pleasure out of throwing stones at a bottle on the wall, Jim. Now, you must have done that too as
a kid. I did do it. I was pretty good at it.
Sometimes we threw stones at traffic signs and so on, but I won't mention that. We will not go there. Okay.
Well, there, the problems that we're facing here with the young must be addressed, because they're dangerous. They're dangerous to the health of the individual, to the behavior, to future goals and aspirations. There are major implications here, aren't there?
Major implications. And it's very important for parents to realize that if your adolescent's experiencing stress, if they're going through a difficult time, if you are suspecting that they're stressed out or maybe depressed, that you get help and that you get them the help that they need, that you help them solve the problem, learn how to deal with stress management, how to work through the problem, how to lower the stress in their life. And if they are depressed, for them to work through that and to get the skills they need. Because if you don't, the depression doesn't automatically go away. You can't punish them enough or push them to snap out of it. It just doesn't work that way. They don't have the skills. Their brain isn't developed enough. They're not developed emotionally. They need help, and they need you as a parent to be their most important advocate. They need you to be a hope giver, a safe place, and to help them get the help that they need.
What do you say to the parent who has been tuned in today and is recognizing that what we've been saying is relevant to their son or daughter? What do they do next? I mean, there are millions of questions associated with this. Take them to the next step.
All right. Let me sort of that point just emphasize this important information for parents. The sort of stress that kids are experiencing today is not just an inconvenience, Jim. This has serious implications for the development of their children's brain. The high level of cortisol, one of the stress hormones, for example, damages the memory circuits. You destroy the capacity to learn adequately as a child. And so one of the first things I think parents have to do is to become a little better educated as to what's causing it. Because if you trivialize this problem, you're not going to get the right sort of help. And the second thing I want to say is this problem is so serious that if it is not addressed, if you don't get the right treatment early enough, what we are now looking at is the development of chronic forms of depression and anxiety that do not respond to treatment. The child's brain is plastic. It is shaped. It's growing and making connections. And if it's depressed for 3 or 4 years and not getting help for that, that depression becomes hardwired in the brain, and that child is going to suffer from that disorder the rest of its life.
Catherine, address some of the other questions I asked your dad. How do you decide to get counseling for a youngster that you're worried about?
I think for parents, many parents find it very difficult and challenging when they realize their teenagers have entered into this zone of stress and depression, and that the teenage world really includes a lot of some dark things and some challenging things. Things like substance abuse and cutting and some of the, even the sexual innuendos that go on with these chat rooms, that sort of thing. And it's, first of all, I think very important for parents to try and understand some of what their teenager is up against and what they're experiencing, and build a relationship with them. Teenagers, over and over again, when they in groups are interviewed, say, I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have a safe place. And number one, parents need to become a safe place for their teenagers so that they know they can go to them and build a relationship. And some of this is hard because you don't want to find cigarettes in their backpack, and you don't want to, you know, hear about some of the stuff. But we have to have the stomach for it and the self-control in some way to be able to enter into their world and to listen to what they are experiencing and to understand some of the stresses and the things that are stressing them so that we can talk with them and help them walk through it and make decisions and problem solve. And then maybe it means taking them to the doctor for a physical checkup if they have stomach aches or if they're having some physical symptoms. And usually going to the doctor is a safe, normal thing to do at first. But I've seen teenagers, one right now who's going through a very difficult divorce, and she throws up every morning. And another one who has terrible headaches and who's broken out in terrible acne. And so some of these teenagers feel that at least if they can go to the doctor, that's a beginning to being heard and being understood in terms of some of the stress they're up against.
You know, I would not want to be a teenager again. I might go back to my 30s, but I'm not sure I would want to go. This is a tough time to grow up, isn't it?
And a lot of parents don't want to go there.
Yeah.
That world is a hard world, and teenagers need us to enter in and be advocates for them. It's very painful. I see parents all the time in counseling and friends who are struggling with very, very difficult disappointment and anger and desperation. As Christians and as good parents, they do the best they can for their kids, and we want so much for them. And when we see them go through these hard times, it's very painful. It's painful for us, but we must find a way to build connection and relationship with them and create a safe place and resources for them to deal with their stress and recover from the damage that stress does, prevent depression, and then help them work through that in practical ways. And there's a lot that parents can do.
So relationships are extremely important between parent and child. Someone said the other day that when your youngster is most unlovable is when you need to love him.
Exactly.
You know, you just can't stand them for a while sometimes.
And they don't want you
around. But
you
hang in there. Yeah.
They don't want you around. They push you away. And parents, obviously, they often get that signal. They don't want me around, so fine. You're on your own. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. But parents need to persevere and just lean on God. I mean, there's no easy answers in this. Mm-hmm. There's no one way for every teenager, and there's no one pat answer for it. And we have to lean heavily on wisdom every day, God leading and guiding us, and in every moment, finding God's love and His wisdom in being in relationship and seeking Him for the way and the solution.
Every year that goes by, you have a little less control and seemingly a little less influence, and other forces are impinging more. And when that occurs, you get on your knees. Yeah. I am absolutely convinced that is the very best thing you can do. You pray every single day. Lord, here I am again. I know I said it yesterday, but I say it again. I love this child that you've given me. I ache for what he or she is going through. And there are dangers out there. There are sexual dangers, all sorts of sin. There's drugs and alcohol. And I'm not going to be there every moment. You will be there. Somehow intercede. Yes. I found the Lord answers that.
Yes, absolutely, Jim. And I think that parents need a particular type of wisdom that You know, we psychologists can't always give them. And that's where prayer is important. But another big issue, and Catherine may want to expand on this a little bit, that the mistake that parents often make, given the high level of problems that these kids are experiencing, that they often turn to a punishment model. Mm. You know, where the kid is acting out and want to punish the child. And that can be a big mistake. I think that what is needed today is much more to get alongside that child and see what you can do and help them.
Everything within you wants to do that, though.
Well, no, they push every angle.
They're pushing you. They're frustrating you. They're embarrassing you. They're putting their own futures at risk. Everything you tried to do for them is threatened, mm-hmm. and you want to lash out.
That's right.
But you really need to keep a rein on that.
This is a different problem. This is not children who are misbehaving as such. These are children experiencing a very, very difficult period of adjustment in their emotional development.
Our time is gone, but I want to pick up right here because this is something that I think parents are going to really find mm-hmm. helpful. And you've discussed it in your book. The title of the book is Stressed or Depressed by Dr. Arch Hart and Dr. Catherine Hart Weber. It's a practical and inspirational guide for parents of hurting teens. And there are a lot of them out there. Can we just come back to this issue at this point right here in our program next time?
Thank you, Jim.
On it to be able to share it with you.
And if for any reason you can't join us for the next edition of Family Talk, be sure to catch that online, myfamilytalk.com, where you can also see information on getting a copy of Dr. Hart and Dr. Weber's book on teens. Doctor, I know as a mom, I can't get enough of this. I was taking notes on this conversation because even if it doesn't apply to me, I know parents who are struggling with hurting teenagers right now.
Hmm. And a lot of parents are struggling with the same thing. I have been writing and speaking about this very subject. I called it fatigue and time pressure. I wrote about it in my book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women, in 1974. So I've been very concerned about this for both generations, all generations, for a long time, because it just seems like our lives are becoming ever more pressure-packed and breathless, and they're filled with never-ending activities. We run from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night. That can't be healthy, and it certainly can't be healthy for kids, yet they're running too. And this is what Dr. Hart and Dr. Hart Weber were trying to get across to us, because parents do need to understand how this fast-paced culture can affect their kids, even to the point of depression and, I believe, health problems as well. There's just so much more information about this and the practical advice that's in store for us that was covered in the book, and I do hope people will get a copy of that. But also there's more to be said right here on Family Talk, and we are going to discuss it again tomorrow.
And the title of our guest book again, Is Your Teen Stressed or Depressed? A Practical and Inspirational Guide for Parents of Hurting Teenagers. And we have that available here at Family Talk. For those who have heard it on the program today and recognized what we're talking about in your teen or in a teen that you know, it is time to take action and protect your child.
Well, that's our job as parents, Ryan. Again, you can request that at myfamilytalk.com, along with even a CD of this program, which will contain tomorrow's conversation as well. Mm-hmm. Again, Ryan, I hope people are thinking of the pass-along value. If you're sitting there as a parent thinking, well, my teens are fine, I guarantee you somebody next to you, somebody in your circle of friends, desperately needs this information. And that's what we're here for. Get a CD, get a copy of this book, and pass it along. 1-877-732-6825. 877-732-6825.
Yeah, and Luann, if our listeners would like to help us continue to help families, which, let's face it, they are in dire straits in this culture, would you please pray for us? Mm-hmm. We are at the close of this broadcast, and when we finish, could you pray to the Lord for our continued success, that we would be able to affect culture and help families? We are a startup ministry, and we really desire to help those who are hurting, but we need a whole lot of prayer and financial support to make that happen. So if you'd like to pray for us or make a donation, again, please visit myfamilytalk.com.
And Ryan and Luann, at the close of the program, I'd just like to make a comment that we had some friends come to visit us not long ago. I've known them for many years, and they're close enough to us to be able to tell us something that others perhaps wouldn't say. What they said is, many, many people have no idea that you're even on the air. Mm-hmm. They don't know that you left Focus on the Family in the spring. And they're not aware that we have a radio program called mm-hmm. Family Talk. And that we're doing some wonderful work. This is good stuff. And they don't know about it. I ask our listeners to give us a hand. Call your friends. We could use about 500,000 ambassadors out there. And we also, of course, need the financial help of those who are enjoying the program.
Doctor, they can go to myfamilytalk.com. There's a tab right there that says donate, or if there's any other reason they want to get in touch with us, it all begins at myfamilytalk.com.